Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about the relationship between anxiety and goal setting, especially in the realm of sports psychology.
Right.
Because that is our topic for the week.
Right.
Sports psychology.
But once again, as I was reading this, I was thinking, this is what happens to me when I do a presentation. You have that performance anxiety,
right?
Just before you do it, but it gives you an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it sharpens it, at least for me.
Yeah.
It sharpens my whole approach, my thinking, yeah. My organizational skills. So anxiety in different areas of your life can serve a positive function.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is an article written by Andy Lane, who
right.
happens to be the person we're going to interview later this week.
Right.
And he wrote an article entitled "How Anxiety Affects Your Goal Setting." And Andy is a sports psychologist in the UK, and he's done a lot of work in the...
Yes, when you go to his website,
mm-hmm.
It's very impressive output. But it was funny because he's from the UK,
mm-hmm.
but he's headed on his way to New Zealand.
Right, right.
And it is summer in New Zealand.
It would be, yeah.
Right, and so I'm sure
he's going from very frigid,
right.
cold
it's
weather
cold
in
England right now.
Wolverhampton, that's where he's at. In England,
okay.
to New Zealand, yes.
To the sunny south for him.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, because it's summer in New Zealand
yeah.
right now.
So when we think about anxiety as it relates to goal setting, there's a few things, and not just goal setting, but you know how well we're performing.
Performance
what we're going to do.
In general, right.
Mm-hmm. How well we anticipate doing, and
right.
that type of goal setting. Not necessarily the goal setting that when we typically talk about goals, we're thinking, you know, in 6 months I want to be doing this or want to be doing that. Right. But more goal setting as it relates to, you know, this is how fast I want to run this,
right.
you know, this 5K, or this mm-hmm. is how well I want to perform in this mm-hmm. competition today. And in this article, he talks about this relationship. And as you said, just before we started recording, it's a very interesting dynamic that really we have to sort of think about,
right.
maybe makes us think about things a little bit differently.
It did. Yeah, this is a bit of a different approach that
right.
he takes to these two topics, the role that anxiety plays in
right.
performance.
Right.
We typically think of the standard way of thinking about anxiety is that a little bit of anxiety is okay,
mm-hmm.
but you reach a point where it becomes maladaptive
right.
or it has a negative effect.
Right.
And he takes a little more, I would say, sophisticated, you know, that's a rather
right.
simplistic view
right.
of anxiety. And he takes a bit more sophisticated approach
right.
to the relationship between anxiety and achieving
right.
Your goal.
Yeah, because we often talk about and you have a fancy name for it, the inverted U.
Oh, yes.
Dodson's or something like that. Dachson.
Yerkes Dodson Law.
I knew Dodson was in there somewhere.
Yeah, Yerkes Dodson Law.
But it's an inverted U, so it's an upside down U
upside
that
down
says
U.
that when your anxiety is very low, your performance is not very high either, because
right.
if you don't really care,
that's right. That's what
there's
he,
not
that's
a drive.
The point he makes
right.
is that if you really care about something, you're going to be a little nervous,
right?
Okay, if you didn't care,
yeah,
it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't feel anything,
right?
Okay.
So as your anxiety increases, your performance increases,
that's
and
right.
and it reaches a point where it says, okay, now this is your maximum
right.
output. Anxiety ratio.
Right.
So your anxiety is going to reach a point where you're going to be at your best.
Right. But
if you
are
a little too
anxious,
right.
then your performance
then it
begins
starts to go back
to
down.
Decline.
Right.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's sort of an inverted U.
Right.
Because it goes up as your anxiety goes up, but then it reaches a threshold where
mm-hmm.
your performance then starts going back down.
But his research adds little pieces to that
yeah.
that I had never thought about, that I didn't
right.
know about before until
yeah.
I read his work.
Yeah. And so the sort of the short story
yeah.
of what right. his says is that, you know, sometimes pushing yourself and increasing that anxiety level
right.
a little bit higher
than what we would typically maybe good.
Maybe good for you.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It may make you work harder. And I think of the idea of setting ambitious goals.
Right.
You know, we talk about setting ambitious goals that are that push you to a limit, but that you can still achieve.
That's
but
right.
That push you to that limit.
Right. And when in tennis, we always tell all of my children played, but most recently, I have a girl. One of my daughters is playing, and we always tell her play with better players who are better than you. Or play with men because they hit harder. Men generally hit harder than women, and that raises your game when you're competing again. But it's that way in every sport,
right?
You know, play with people better than you,
right?
And they will increase your performance,
right? Mm-hmm. Now, I tried to find it, but I was listening to a program the other day, and I just could not put it in my draw from my memory bank if it was a documentary I was watching or if it was a podcast I was listening to, but one or the other. So I couldn't find it again, but the person there was talking about when setting goals and said that, you know, the idea is that sometimes you want to set goals that are just above what you can reach. That there are times when you want your goals to be just out of your reach.
Right.
So that not so high that you know that it's impossible, but high enough to where you're going to continue to work until the very end to try to get to that goal.
Right.
And even if you don't quite reach it, that's okay.
That's right.
That's pretty consistent with what he's talking about here.
That's right. The idea that, I think of running, running a marathon.
Running is a good example.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you say, okay, I'm going to set my goal to run a marathon. Well, okay, you only made a half marathon. You just ran 13 miles.
Right.
There aren't many people who can do that.
Right.
Okay, so even if you only get halfway there, it's still an enormous accomplishment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so when you think about that, and if we apply it to running, let's say running a mile.
Right.
And let's say that you typically run, let's just say an 8-minute mile.
8-minute mile.
Right. You know, you may set your goal to run just using round numbers, you may set your goal to run a 7.5-minute mile.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, all you're doing is you're talking about shaving 30 seconds off, and it seems reasonable.
Seems easy
until you're running.
Until
of course, that's really difficult.
Right.
But so that would be an ambitious goal that may be just outside of your reach, but it's going to help you get faster.
It's going to spur you to that next level.
You would not, however, say, "I want to run a 5-minute mile," because that is so far outside of your reach that you know that there's not. You will know after the first lap. There's no way I can make that, and so that's going to affect your performance negatively,
right?
Because you know that there's no way that you're going to reach it.
I had a friend who was he was good. He was a very good runner. He would run 10 miles in the morning and 10 miles in the afternoon, and so he was in excellent condition. And he tried to run a 5-minute mile one time. He said he could come nowhere close. He said, I don't understand the physiology of a 5-minute mile because he said, you're running as fast as you can for a mile.
Right.
And it's very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
So,
That's
what did it for me. When he said that, I said, there's no way.
So,
because you'd have to train for years
to
be able to get to that point.
Right. So when you're setting goals, you want to elevate your anxiety to the point where it's going to push you and encourage you to do more and to be faster and stronger and better. But you don't want to set it so high that it's going to be a detriment to your performance because you just know there's just no way.
Right, right. Yeah. The other thing I like about his whole approach is he talks about process goals, right?
Right.
And I really... When I got to that section, I really piqued my interest because we tend to think of achievement goals, you know, where I want to be.
Right.
And he said that sometimes that's misplaced.
Right.
He said maybe you ought to shift to the process you're using and get better at that. And I remember when I was running every day, there would be days when you run enough, when you're very sluggish.
Right.
Okay. And what I would do in those days is I would start to concentrate on just how I was moving,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I would reestablish a rhythm
right.
that worked for me that day. Because otherwise, you feel like you're running with blocks on your feet.
Right.
And so I did that. But he talks very eloquently
mm-hmm.
about focusing on the process mm-hmm. rather than the goal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says you when you do so. The person switches, and this is how he writes. The person switches attention from what the likely outcome could be,
right.
and all of the emotions that come with that, to the requirements of doing the task itself.
Of doing the task.
And
right.
and yes, I really like that, because when it comes again to sport psychology, mm-hmm. when it comes to performance, right. sometimes the process is more important than the outcome.
Well, you know, and we say that with tennis players, and I'm sure you do it with soccer players. Is you can tell when a player is starting to fall apart,
right?
Okay, and you say, just focus right. on your movements.
Right.
And we refer to it as the neuropsychology
right.
of sport, where you just go back and just focus on the fun. We always focus on the fundamentals.
Right.
Go back and just remember what your coach told you,
mm-hmm.
where you put your feet, how you swing the
right.
racket, and go back to those basic fundamentals, because that's what's broken
right.
down.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about this is that it gives coaches a very specific way to correct
mm-hmm.
performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think
yeah.
and that because that's kind of what we do anyway.
Right.
I just hadn't heard it explained quite this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, when we think about the utility of this for athletes, or
mm-hmm.
maybe even more specifically for non-athletes,
right.
you know, it's really a great suggestion, I think, to say practice or focus on non-outcome goals.
That's right.
Focus on goals that don't necessarily have to do with the
mm-hmm.
the end product,
right.
but it focuses on
right.
the process that you're going through. And so whether you're trying to write a blog, and you know, when you're writing a blog, you're going to think, I want my blog to be popular, I want it
right.
to get lots of clicks and likes and followers and all this, but sometimes you just have to focus on the process of writing.
That's right.
You know, getting words to the paper
mm-hmm.
so that then you can get to the outcome
right.
goals later on.
That's right. In baseball, we think about hitting the ball
yeah.
and then we have to say to the batter, just focus on where your hands are
right.
and where your arms are.
Right.
Focus on your swing. The hitting will take care of itself
right.
if you go back and just think about what
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to, fundamentals of where your hands and arms are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, right. so this article offers a lot of good information.
It really does.
You know,
yeah.
Not just the idea of how you set your goals and how high to set your goals, but also what type of goals you need
mm-hmm.
to be setting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know the other thing that I liked about this,
mm.
he said, accept anxiety as a normal part.
Right.
And again, no matter whether you're writing, presenting, performing, and it doesn't matter what level,
mm-hmm.
just accept anxiety as part
right.
of it. And use the anxiety
right.
in constructive and positive ways. It needn't get in the way of
right.
your performance.
Absolutely.
So, but accept it as normal. And we talk about that
mm-hmm.
in other areas too, that
yeah.
that just accept these feelings as normal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So, all right.
Very
well,
good advice.
It for
yeah.
today.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.